Well, good morning, everybody. How's everyone doing today? Y'all look a little dead this morning. Amen. I want to thank a few people. I know Tony and Brother Richard, and was anybody else involved with the well? Y'all mainly did that. I want to thank them for getting our well pump installed and running, because we were without water on Wednesday, and we were hoping and praying we'd have water today, and we did, and I thank y'all for that. Really appreciate that. Amen. Because we got a lot of Baptists have to go to the bathroom on Sunday morning. Amen. I don't know what they did on Saturday night, but they had to go to the bathroom on Sunday morning. Amen. Amen. We got a few folks out. I'm going to kind of use this microphone a little bit today. My voice is kind of a little bit scratchy, but had a great wedding yesterday evening. Allie and Shane got married, and please be in prayer for Miss Ann, though. At the rehearsal dinner at her house, she slipped and fell and broke her arm up high. She's going to have to go next week and get that checked on. So she was in a sling at the wedding. But she was there nonetheless, but they're all kind of still wrapping all that stuff up. So we miss them today, but we understand what's going on with that. Got some other people out sick and visiting and so forth. But we're glad to have you guys here today. Amen. It's always great to look out and see a good group here, even though we got a lot of our folks that are out today for various reasons. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm chapter 90.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. How many of you are glad you got God's Word to stand on?
Amen.
Amen. Guys, we're going to look at the final part of this series that I've been going over here for the last few Sundays. The name of the series was Given, It Will Be Given Back to You. This is the final part of that, giving of your time. We talked about giving of your income. We talked about giving of your talents last week. And today we're going to talk about giving of your time, which I believe for Christian people and for people in general, that is probably one of the hardest things we want to let go of, is our time. And we're going to talk about that today. And I hope that your hearts and minds will be challenged today. I hope that the Holy Spirit will speak to you in this area, because here's a fact. We all have 24 hours in a day, right?
Yes.
No one has more or less time than anyone else, right? But it's how we allocate that time and what we do with that time that determines where we are at any given time as far as our walk with the Lord goes. Obviously, the more time you give to the Word, the more time you give to prayer, the closer you're going to grow in the Spirit, and the closer you're going to grow to God. The less time you spend, of course, you sometimes tend to find your life is somewhat in disarray and just doesn't seem to be heading in the right direction. Guys, I'm telling you what, you keep your eyes focused on Jesus and you'll always be moving in the right direction. Amen. You'll always be headed in the right direction. Brother Bert saw what the sermon was about today, so he got his calculator out. I know he didn't just do this in his head. Amen. There's too many big figures here. Oh, did he? Okay. All right. Well, hey, I'm going to throw this out there. If it's wrong, now you got to blame him, okay? He kind of came up with some facts here. I'm going to share them with you. Of course, we have 60 minutes in an hour, right? 24 hours in a day, 10,080 minutes per week. At 52 weeks out of the year, that's 524,160 minutes that we have available in a year. If you attend church three times a week, roughly, that's 180 minutes. Times 52 weeks, that's about 9,360 minutes a year that we have an opportunity to spend at church, more or less. 10%, now let me throw in this right here. When we talk about 10%, the Bible speaks of us giving of a tithe, which is usually 10% of our income, as most of us think. But I also believe that tithing is not all just about your income. It's about your time. It's about your talents. Do we give God at least a tenth of our time? Do we give Him a tenth of our talents? Are we doing our part with all of that? Now, here's the grand total. 10% of 524,160 is 52,416. Now, interestingly enough, if you subtract that 9,360 minutes from that we have an opportunity to spend in church in a year's time, we come up with 56 minutes, which is actually shorter, less than 10% of that time. So you see, even if we come every service, we're still not really spending 10% of our time serving the Lord just in that capacity. So see, there's more to it than that, guys. There's more to it than that. We cannot just rely on what we do on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We got to do a lot of this stuff on our own at home. And guys, I just don't believe we're doing our homework sometimes. I believe sometimes we're falling short. We're not giving God 10% of our time. I want to challenge you today, and I don't want you to leave from here feeling anything but challenged, amen? I want you to feel challenged because, guys, we serve a good, awesome God, amen? If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
We serve a God who's going to love us no matter what we do, no matter how we act, no matter whether we're regular attenders at church, no matter whether we read our Bible every day, no matter whether we pray every day, God's love for us is not going to change. Amen? But what we got to understand is if we want to grow, if we want to be all we can be for Him, then we have got to get in the Word. We've got to get in a regular prayer life, and we got to communicate with God. We can't just rest on coming to church and getting everything we need. Guys, there's not enough hours on Sunday to give you everything you need to grow as a believer. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm thankful for everybody coming. And please don't say, oh, well, the preacher said we can just do all this at home. We'll stay home next week. No, please. We want you to come, amen. But what I'm saying is you got to do more than that. You know, time's very important to everybody, isn't it? No matter whether you're a street sweeper, an astronomer, a teacher, a farmer, an electrician, a lawyer, doctor, whatever your profession is, we have the same number of hours in each day, don't we? We have the same number of hours. We have a lot of demand on our time, don't we? We got a lot of demand on our time. I need you for this. I need you for that. Will you go here? Will you go there? We got a lot of demand on our time. How are we divvying up and dividing out the time that we have each and every day? How are we doing that? Guys, our work takes up a large percentage of our life, doesn't it? I know it does mine, and I'm sure it does most everybody here. But guys, even so, there's still time we can get in the Word. There's still time we can pray. There's still time that we can walk with the Lord and talk with the Lord each and every day. We got to learn to allocate our time. And I'm a fine one to be talking sometimes because here's what the devil likes to do when it comes to time. Here's what the devil likes to do, especially on Sunday morning. The worst invention ever created was a little button called snooze.
Amen.
Amen. The worst thing ever invented was a snooze item that they put on clocks and they put on, even on your cell phone alarm, you can hit a snooze button. Guys, the devil loves that thing. You know why? Because if you snooze enough, you're going to realize, uh-oh, I only got 20 minutes left. I'm not going to be able to do that today. And that's exactly what the devil wants you to do. So, guys, it's all about allocating our time and getting things in order. Anything that we do in life requires time, doesn't it? Anything we do in life requires time. There's been a lot of surveys done in America as far as how much time we spend in our lifetime doing various things. If you got your sermon notes, I'm going to read this to you real quick. This is a survey that was done about the amount of time Americans spend in a lifetime on certain things. Let's look at this. Survey says that we'll end up spending about 6 months of our life at stoplights, at red lights. You ever thought about that? And some people, when they're there, they get really upset. Amen. They spend 6 angry months at stoplights, right? 8 months opening junk mail. Think about all the junk mail you get in the mail. It's just unimportant stuff. You open it up and throw it in the trash can. Sometimes I don't even open it up. I throw it right in the trash can. So my time's probably less than 8 months on that. Amen. 1 year looking for misplaced objects in your lifetime. Where did I put that? Where is it? I can't find it. Open up the closet and it falls out on you and knocks you down. Amen. You just shove so much in the closet you can't get in there. And by the way, when we're doing Love Lifted Me a minute ago, I know a couple of y'all got a little vertigo because y'all were like this. Y'all about to face plant out here, some of you. I got a cramp in my calf. I couldn't lift too high on that last verse, but y'all did a good job with that. Appreciate that, Brother Dennis. How about this? 4 years of doing housework. Now, ladies, I know you probably think that figure's a little bit skewed right there. But we're talking about in a lifetime now. 365 days constitutes a year. Della said 40, not 4. Amen. Amen. Maybe it is 40. I don't know. I don't know who did this survey. It's one I found, okay? 5 years waiting in lines of various types. Maybe at a restaurant, maybe at an amusement park. 5 years of waiting in line. And 6 years eating. Amen. Yeah. I know my number is higher than that on the eating category. Amen. 6 years of that. But look at what this is all there for, is to show you, where do we invest our time? Where's our time spent? How many of you have ever said before, man, I just don't have enough hours in the day? Raise your hand if you ever said that. Man, I've said that before, right? But guess what? We all have 24 hours in a day, right? That time is not going to change as long as we're here on this earth. Now, when we get to eternity, there will be no more time, amen? There'll be no more snooze buttons. That's going to be a great day, isn't it? We don't have to worry about that because we're going to be rejoicing forever and ever, always. That's going to be a great time. Each of us here today has been given the same amount of hours in each day. As we move forward into our journey into Christian stewardship, we start out by looking at how we should be good stewards of our time. And I want to jump in here right now and I want to read our scripture to you this morning. It comes from Psalm chapter 90, verse 10 and 12. If you have your Bibles, open to Psalm chapter 90, verse 10 and 12, 10 through 12. I oftentimes quote Psalm chapter 90, 10, because it talks about the days of our lives, how these days are numbered, how we only have a certain amount of time here on this earth. What are you going to invest your time in? What are you going to invest your time in? All those that can, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. We're going to read three verses right here. Verse 10, 11, and 12 of Psalm chapter 90. The days of our years are 70 years. In other words, about 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, or 80 years is what the scripture is talking about here. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Father God, we just ask now, Lord, as we finish up this message today, God, that you'd open our eyes and ears and hearts and mouths. Let it be nothing about me, Lord, but all about you, everything that's said here today. I just pray that we'll be challenged and changed here when we finish this service today, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, you may be seated. We're going to pick back up here today. I wanted to read that scripture to you. Look at what verse 10 is saying now. Guys, God says we're going to give you 70 or 80 years. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Well, why did my loved one die when they were 40 or 30 or 20? Why is this loved one allowed to go to 90 or 100? Well, guys, we serve a sovereign God. And he's got a plan for all of this stuff. And yes, this is kind of a template here of what God's saying is, hey, I'm going to give you 70 or 80 years of life on this earth. How are you going to spend it? What are you going to do with it? Now, I may choose to bless you with more, or I may have a plan where I'm going to take you out of here and I'm going to use you for something great in heaven at an earlier age. And we just have to be prepared for that, because sometimes that happens. But guys, look at what this verse is saying. At the end of this verse, it says, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. In other words, what that verse is kind of telling us is, the longer we live, the more labor and the more sorrow we're going to experience in this life. The longer we live. So, you know what? It's not a bad thing if our loved ones get called on to be with the Lord at an earlier age. Because they're going to miss out on all this sorrow. They're going to miss out on this sickness. They're going to miss out on all this mistrust and all of this uncertainty that's going on in the world today when God goes ahead and calls them on. So, you know, a lot of times we get caught up in, God, why'd you do that? Why'd you take my loved one away from me? Instead of rejoicing and saying, Lord, I'll be happy one day when that's me so I don't have to put up with all this stuff that's going on this terrible and cruel earth that we live on here today. Amen. So you see, don't look at it as a bad thing when God chooses to call your loved ones home maybe sooner than those 70 or 80 years have been up. But guys, when it comes to the end of our life, our entire impact on this world will boil down to one thing. That hyphen between your birth date and your death date that's out there on your tombstone. That's what's going to matter in your life. What did you do with the time God gave you in those 60, 70, 80, 90 years? What are you going to be remembered for? You ever thought about that? What do you want people to remember you for? Oh, there's Sister So-and-so. They thought they were all this and that, but I'm here to tell you now, they weren't all this. You know, what are you going to be remembered for when you finally are called on to be with the Lord? Did you invest your time wisely? Did you do everything God wanted you to do and be everything God wanted you to be? Or did you hold out on God? Did you put other things ahead of God? Because guys, I'm telling you, the only time we have to earn jewels for our crown is right here on earth in the here and now. Amen. Can I get a witness? That's the only time we got to do that. It's too late when you take your last breath and then you're standing there with Jesus and Jesus like, well, this won't take long. You don't really even have any crowns to throw down yet. Just come on here. I'm going to put you over here in the corner for a minute. You're going to get to heaven if you're a born-again believer. You believe that Jesus Christ died for you, that he was the Son of God. He was resurrected, hung on that cross, resurrected the third day. You're going to get to heaven, but what is your reward going to be when you get there? It's about how you invested your time here on this earth. So see that hyphen between the day you were born and the day you died? That's what's important. The time that lapses in between those two dates. The time that goes on between those two dates. See, the psalmist who wrote the psalm wanted to value each day he had. He wanted to consider it a gift and a joy to be able to live each and every day. He knew that life is short in comparison to God's existence and eternity. Do you understand what eternity is all about? Do you really understand what eternity is all about? That means forever and ever, no more record of time. No more having to be on time to this meeting. No more having to get up to go to school. Can I get an amen? No more having to get up and go to work. Can I get a louder amen?
Amen.
Amen. See, because guys, right now we live in a temporal world, right? We live in a world that's controlled by time. But there's going to come a day when we go on to be with our Lord that we will not be on a schedule. We will not have any more concept of time as we know it now. So the psalmist recognized that. He's like, man, I want to do all I can with the time that God's given me here on this earth. And I hope and pray that's what you want. That's what I want. I want to do everything I can for God. I want to be all I can be for God. And however much time he's going to give me the rest of my life here on this earth, I want to use it for him. He wanted to value each day he had. He also wanted God to give him the wisdom to see the hand of God moving each and every day in his life. Guys, what is wisdom? Anybody want to just speak up and tell me what you think wisdom is right quick while I get some water?
Knowledge,
that's good. What else? What else is wisdom?
Learning from your mistakes.
That's a great way to use wisdom and for wisdom to play a role in your life. Knowledge, learning from your mistakes. Anybody else have something you think wisdom is? Y'all ain't very wise, amen. I'm just kidding. So guys, really those are two good definitions of wisdom. Do you know how you get wisdom?
Easy.
How do we get wisdom in our life? Ask God for it. In the book of James, he says it's a free gift. It's a free gift. All you got to do is ask for it. But when you ask for it and God gives it to you, use it. Use it for the right thing. Don't make unwise decisions. Don't use your time unwisely. You're praying for God to give you wisdom and you're wasting time you could be serving him with. Amen. Guys, that's not what wisdom's about. Wisdom is about taking something, looking at it, examining it, and saying to yourself, now God, how should I treat that? How should I handle that? What should I do with that? That's what wisdom will do for you. It's a free gift, guys. Pray for it. I pray for wisdom every day. I pray for wisdom for our church members, for our leaders. But I pray most of all for wisdom for myself so that I can help people discern things in their lives. You ever been around somebody where the solution to a problem was so simple you could see it right there in front of you and they're over there trying to get way out in left field trying to solve it? I'm like, my goodness, there's a simple explanation here. They're not wise. That's why it takes some people, they have to go all the way around the mountain before they can make a decision, because they're not wise. They haven't asked God for that wisdom, but I'm telling you, He wants to give it to you. We live in a fast-paced society today. Time, instead of being something that we cherish, tends to become a nuisance in our life. Instead of cherishing that time God's given us, it can become a nuisance in our life. Why? Because we allow our time to be polluted with the things of this world. We allow our time to be polluted with things that God had no intention for us to be involved with. Our time is limited, guys. We read the statistics of how many hours and minutes and all this and that and the other that we have in a year. Guys, what are we doing with that time? What are we doing with it? Think about it. We thrive in the fast lane of life only to come home or come to church and complain about how busy we are. That's what we like to do a lot of times. Somebody once said that we master our minutes or we become slaves to them. Think about that. We either master our minutes or we become slaves to them. In other words, we take control of our time. Let me tell you something. Don't stand around and let somebody keep you from serving God, wanting you to do something that had nothing to do with the kingdom. Amen. Amen. You just step up and say, look, I'm all about kingdom work. I'm sorry. I love you. I don't have time for that. God's got a different plan for me. I need to be serving the Master as long as I can. Don't get tied up in all these little sidebar things that people want you to do, taking you away from serving God. Because in the end, what's all this important anyway? Your salvation and what you did here on this earth with it. Those are the only two important things, really. If you think about it, many of us are willing to give of our income and our talents, but guess what? When it comes to giving of our time, that suddenly becomes mine. I get possessive of that. Oh, I might reluctantly sometimes, but a lot of us do it cheerfully, drop some money in the offering plate. Or I may sing or do something else God's talented me with, but when it comes to time, we have a problem sometimes with that, don't we? Guys, I'm going to tell you something that saddened me tremendously yesterday. It saddened me tremendously yesterday. I'm going to step down here and amongst the people, amen. That's what Jesus would do. He didn't want to elevate himself up above anybody. You know what I saw that troubled me yesterday? I was coming home from a funeral yesterday, and I cut through over there by the Jehovah Witness Church. And guys, let me first of all say this. What I'm fixing to tell you is in no way reflective of the fact that I even remotely think that these people have got it together, because they don't. They don't understand who Jesus is. They don't believe He was the Son of God who died on the cross, was buried, and was resurrected on the third day. But let me tell you what they do have. They know what it means to get together and use their time and invest in what they think is right. I drove by that church Saturday. This was Saturday around noon. There must have been 60 cars in the parking lot. People were scurrying around like ants, trimming hedges, cutting grass, blowing off the driveway, raking up stuff. They understand what it means to invest in what they think their kingdom is. Why can't we do the same thing? Why are we even concerned if we have money or not to cut the cemetery and cut the grounds? Long as we got 100 members of this church, why can't we be like them? Why can't we have 60 people show up here in cars, cutting hedges, sweeping, raking, vacuuming, doing whatever we need to do? That troubled me. That troubled me because, you know what? These people understand, even though what they're worshiping is a pagan form of religion, they understand the importance in stewardship to what they believe in. Are we investing our time the same way? You know, hey, I just wonder if we didn't have a dime to our name to get this grass cut around here, how many people come down here two Saturdays a month and help? I'm challenging you today. Amen. I told you I hired a crazy preacher 7 years ago. Amen. But guys, I want what's best for you. Amen. How many of you want what's best for God, for God's plan in your life? If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Guys, I'm serious. We got to challenge ourselves. We got to ask ourselves a question. Can we take a nugget of wisdom from those people that I saw yesterday? I can. I absolutely can, because I saw people coming together. I saw people working together for a cause, and I in no way endorse the religion they believe in. I just like what I saw when it came to the teamwork they had. They come around, yeah, they're annoying, knocking on your door. Everybody says, come here, boy, go get them. Open the door, let the dog out on them on Saturday morning, amen. You know you've done it before, amen. But guys, I'm going to tell you one thing, they're persistent. If we could take a little bit away from that and apply that right here at Bethesda Baptist Church, and it's not just this church, I'm not just picking on us. I'm saying we can make better use of our time. We should never have an issue at this church about needing to get something done as long as we've got members who are proclaiming to be children of the King. Amen. We should never have that problem. Ever. But guess what? Sometimes it's hard to get folks to do this, that, and the other. It's hard to invest our time, isn't it? You know what? God gave you the ability to get out of bed this morning. Our hearts are still beating. Our brains are still functioning. Well, most of ours are. Amen. I don't know about some people. Most of our brains are still functioning. Our lungs are still supplying oxygen to our body. Despite how busy we may be, God is still asking for our time. Amen. He's still asking for our time. And I'm moving along here because I know how important time is to everybody. Two things I want to finish up with today. This comes from the book of Ephesians chapter 5. It talks about us redeeming the day. And it talks about us walking circumspectly in our walk. God's called us to walk circumspectly. Now that's a big word. Some of you may not know what that means. But basically what we're doing is we're watching out for what we're doing each and every day. We're staying on guard. We're making sure we're going down the right path and not veering off on the wrong path here. I believe if you're walking if we're walking that way, amen, I believe there ought to be two questions we have to ask ourselves, and this is one of them right here. Have I faithfully served God with the time He's given me? And have I shown God to those around me? Have I faithfully served in the time God has given me? And have I let others see Jesus in me and through me? If we're walking circumspectly, we ought to be able to answer yes to both of those questions. But guys, I'm going to be honest with you. In all our fast-paced life, it's easy to neglect an unseen God, isn't it? It's easy to neglect God. Because He's not standing right in front of us, speaking to us and talking to us. But guys, He speaks to you. His Holy Spirit speaks to you if you're a born-again believer. If you're not doing what God has called you to do, He's speaking to you. He's telling you through the Holy Spirit of God what you should be doing, what you shouldn't be doing. But still, it's easy for us to just kind of push God over here to the side. Why? Because He's not somebody that we can visually lay our eyes on. But guys, guess what? He's everything. Amen. Amen. He's everything. He's everything. And He should be everything to everybody here. I want to challenge you in that area. We often neglect our prayer time and Bible reading because we're too busy. Too busy for what? When we get home some days, our bodies are worn out from work. We can't focus on God. Guys, we're told to tithe 10% of our income, right? 10%. Why don't we tithe of our time as well? Think about this. What if we tithe to God 2.4 hours a day to Him? Think about what this world would be like. Think about what this community would be like if everybody in this building right now today said, you know what, God, I'm going to give you 2.4 hours of my day every day. Starting right now. Starting right now. If you're a person who doesn't seem to have enough hours in the day, 2.4 hours given away to God might seem like murder to you. Amen. That's what it may seem like to you. Look at it this way, folks. This shocked me when I came across this, but you know what? I believe it. I believe it. Look at this right here. The average Christian spends a total of 15 minutes a week in prayer. I didn't say a day. I said a week. 15 minutes a week in prayer. And when do you think most of that happens? On Sunday. Amen. Getting around praying a little bit for before you come to church on Sunday. 15 minutes a week. That's ridiculous. We ought to be able to get up and pray every day. When you rise up, you ought to be praising God. When you go to bed, you ought to be praising God. Amen. You ought to be praising Him in the midday. You ought to be praising Him when that sun's beating down on you. Amen. Give Him thanks in everything. Be thankful for what He's done for you. But I'm going to tell you what. Guys, here's another statistic. If we can spend an average of 3 hours a day in front of the television, something's wrong with that. Something's wrong with that. So don't tell me you ain't got time. I'm speaking to myself too. I'm going to next week make it a point to when I come inside, I'm not getting in front of that TV. I'm going upstairs. I'm finding me a quiet place. And I'm going to start giving to God what He so rightfully deserves. Amen. And that is my time that He's given me to serve Him. 3 hours a day in front of the television. That's not counting talking to people on the cell phone and texting all night long. Amen. Guys, we spend too much time doing things that are taking us away from God. We need to be giving Him at least a tenth of our day every day. But guess what? I'd be happy if we'll just take the 1 hour a day challenge right now. Let's start with 1 hour and let's see if we can work up to 2.4. We don't have to jump into it all at once. If you can, that's great. Our day should also be invested in our neighbors. Loving other people, especially second in line, our family. Because I'm going to tell you what, guys, we're not spending enough time with our family either. Now, you should always put God first in the time you spend with Him, but our family should be next. And a lot of us just aren't getting it done that way. We're not getting it done that way. I've found that the quality time I invest with God and my family affects my day. How many of you agree with that? If you don't get in the Word, you don't pray, you don't interact with your family, your day doesn't go right, does it? You know why? Because God designed you to serve Him and to glorify Him. And in doing so, your family, your job, everything else is going to be so much better. Even on your worst day, you're going to be able to keep a smile on your face. You know why? Because you put your priorities in order. That's why there's so many unhappy people in the world. They've taken God out of the equation. And they've just started doing things the way they want to do them. That's why we're in the trouble we're in this life. Guys, Psalms 90:10 tells us that our life is short when you think about it. Our life's short. We must prioritize our life. We got to prioritize our life. God must come first. Family must be next. And then everything else should come third after that. That means job, that means activities, that means interaction with other friends. That should be third on your list, not first. You ought not ever say, oh, I got to go to see some friends. I'm not going to be able to be at church today. Why don't you get your friends to come with you? Amen. Guys, if you ever get that triad out of order, God, family, everything else, things aren't going to go right for you. You know I'm telling you the truth. If you believe that, say amen. You know I'm telling you the truth, right? Because when you get that out of sync, things start spiraling out of control in your life. When we walk circumspectly, we show our principles by our corresponding conduct. We let people know who we are in Christ by our corresponding conduct. I'm going to tell you what. Some of us are getting an F in conduct right now as far as Christianity goes. Because we're not walking the walk. We are talking the talk sometimes, but we're not walking the walk. We're not investing our time wisely in kingdom work. So guys, guess what? I told you this several weeks ago. You're going to hear one of two things when you're standing in front of Jesus. You're going to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been responsible over little. I'm going to make you ruler over much. Come on in and enjoy your fellowship with me. Or you're going to hear these words, depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. You're going to hear one of those two things when your life is over. I don't know about you, but I want to hear the first one. I don't want to hear the second one. My goal is to hear Jesus tell me that face to face. Won't that be awesome? Amen. Wouldn't it be great for Jesus to look you in the face and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come on in. After you've toiled and labored and sweated and had so much sorrow in your life off and on, won't it be great to hear those words from Jesus? That'll just wipe away everything you ever had to go through in your life, won't it? That'll just get rid of all of that. The second thing we need to do, and we're almost done, is redeem the time. Guys, when you redeem something, what do? You cash it in, right? You cash it in for something better. We need to start redeeming our time. This means we need to seize opportunities in our life. Time is that on which eternity depends, guys. Your eternity depends on how you use your time each and every day. You realize that? And your time that is spent pouring into other people's lives may help direct where their eternity ends up. So I want you to think long and hard about that. Guys, if we want to be all we can be for Jesus, then we must make time for Him. Can I get a witness here today? We must make time for Him. We cannot put Him down at the bottom of our list. We can't put Him down at the bottom of our list. Guys, if we want to be all that we can be for Him, we got to make time for Him. Why don't we all try to give God at least 1 hour a day each day this week? Let's try that. How many of you are willing to give that a go? Raise your hand. Let's give God at least 1 hour a day this week. That means instead of 3 hours of TV, you only get two the next 7 days. Instead of 3 hours of talking on your phone or texting, we're going to shut it down for at least 1 hour. I'm turning it off. I'm not going to have it on. And I'm going to get in your word, Lord. I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to let you guide me and direct me to where you want me to go and what you want me to be. Will you take that challenge? And then let's see if we can't work ourselves up into 2 hours a day. Then the 2.4. Heck, we may just turn the TV off altogether and just get in the word and start praying. Wouldn't that be awesome? The early church after Pentecost, they prayed. They met every day. They went from house to house. They couldn't get enough. Now it's like a lot of us in this day and age, we don't even want to spend a little bit of time. We want to get away. We want to do whatever we want to do. Guys, you may think this is your time to do with as you see fit, but I'm going to tell you one day, you're going to be accountable for everything you've done. You're going to be accountable for it. What you have done, what you didn't do, what you should have done. You're going to be accountable for it. And lastly, the last thing I want to say this. Remember this, folks. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Here's the bottom line. Can I be honest with you for just a second? Here's the bottom line. A lot of us don't treasure our time with Jesus. We don't treasure it. We treasure talking to our friends. We treasure talking to our girlfriends and boyfriends. We treasure talking to our spouses. We treasure watching things on TV that we probably shouldn't even be watching anyway. We treasure listening to music. We treasure going to leisure activities. We treasure going to sporting events. And guys, don't get me wrong. All that's fine if it's number three in your life. That's okay. But guys, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Do you treasure Jesus? Do you treasure spending time with Him? Because if you don't, your life's going to show it. I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what you're put through in your life. Some people are trying their best to serve God with all they got. But the world around them is trying to pull them away and trying to take of their time and trying to take of their sanity. But they're still holding on strong. They still got that anchor solidly planted in the ground and they're refusing to walk away from God. Amen. And I'm so proud of people that can do that. Don't ever turn your back on God. I don't care what anybody tries to convince you to do. If you do that, you'll make the worst mistake you've ever made in your life. Guys, we got to give God of our time. Because I can promise you this. The returns you'll get from it will be like nothing you've ever experienced before in your life. Father God, I thank You, Lord, for this day. I thank You for, Lord, this series You laid upon my heart, Lord. We talked about giving of our income. We've talked about giving of our talents. And today we finished by talking about giving of our time. God, I just pray that each and every person here today will make a concerted effort this week to just starting off with, God, just give you 1 hour of our day. Maybe 30 minutes in the morning, 30 minutes in the evening, or maybe 1 hour all together at some point. But God, I just pray that you'll convict our hearts. Lord, I pray when we turn that TV on, when we get home tomorrow night, you'll help us think about what we talked about today. Lord, when we get ready to sit down and lay down in our bed and start texting our friends and talking on the phone, I pray that you'll lay on our heart what we talked about today. And I pray, God, that you'll help us rise up out of this world and give you the place that you so rightfully deserve in our hearts. And Lord, I pray today that if anybody needs to come and lay anything down at this altar, they'll come and do that, Lord, that they'll get cleansed, God, because you're a God that is quick and just to forgive us of our sin and restore us back into righteousness. And I thank you for that, Lord. Lord, there's many times I need that cleansing each and every week, sometimes every day. I thank you for being a loving God. I pray if there's anybody in this house today that needs to accept you as their Savior, Lord, that they won't continue to wait, that they'll come at the urging of your Holy Spirit, God, and accept you as their Savior, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing? Hymn number 437,
Wherever He Leads, I'll Go.
Hymn number 437, Wherever He Leads, I'll Go. Y'all hold up 1 second before we start singing.
Lee Wade had an aneurysm yesterday. And for those of you that know Lee, Lee has lived an awful life in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. I grew up next to him, and I guess I've known him for 52 years. And I don't know if he's saved. He went to the Episcopal Church some. But for those of you that knew Lee at the country club, you know, he lived a pretty disenfranchised life. And I don't know where it is in the Bible, but I don't know that he's not saved, but could we just pray for him from a distance that if he is at the end of his life, that his salvation will be secure?
Yes, we can do that. Let's do that right now before we sing our closing hymn. Father God, Lord, I just pray for Lee right now, Lord. I've known him many, many years. God, he's always, like Della said, he's had to endure a lot of things in his life. But God, I'm praying he's right with you. I'm praying, God, if he's not, that we'll have an opportunity to talk with him and share with him your love. And Lord, I just pray if he's not, that you'll give him an opportunity for more life so that we can be that witness to him. Just pray for that. For your Holy Spirit of conviction, Lord, on his life, and for your healing hand upon him, God. Lord, we ask this in the precious name of Jesus, the name above all names, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for sharing that, Della. Will you come and sing? The altar's open. To go wherever he leads you? Or are you simply just going to do things your way?
Thank you.
Church.
Amen. And where are you a member at?
At the Methodist Church in Williams, Mississippi.
Williams, Mississippi. So you're going to be here now. You're moving
here.
You live
I live in Atlanta.
Covington. Yes, ma'am. We'd love to have you.
I'll be coming down with my sister, Nita.
Okay, super, super. And tell me your name again.
Patricia Adams.
Patricia Adams. Okay, Miss Patricia, if you just sit right here for a minute. Amen. If you will, just be seated for just a minute. Miss Patricia, you want to come stand up here with us? This is Miss Patricia Adams. This is Miss Nita's sister. She's been coming and visiting with us for a long time, and I know she's been a great comfort to Miss Nita. And she's wanting to come and join our fellowship here at Bethesda Baptist Church as a member here. Amen? Amen. So, would we like to welcome her into our fellowship?
Amen.
If you would, say amen and mean it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're so glad to have you, Miss Patricia. We'll get your information. She was a member of a church over in Mississippi, I believe you told me. And she's going to be coming and visiting a lot with Miss Nita. So she wants to join our church family here. And we're excited about that. So we're going to get you to come stand with us as we exit here in a minute. So if you don't mind, Miss Patricia, just have you a seat right there for a second. I just want to go over a couple of quick things. We do have a quick our regular church conference right after we get done. Won't take but just a few minutes. At 1:30 today, our youth, they kind of organized this thing and got a little fellowship going with a kickball thing they do periodically. Anybody's welcome to come and be a part of that. There's going to be food there. That's at 1:30 at the rec fields. Next Sunday, we do have a sunrise service here at church for those who would like to attend that. We put 6:30. We're actually going to start it at 7. So 7 o'clock sunrise service here, right out there on the grass by the cross over there on the grass, if you'd like to come. Nothing more beautiful than to hear the birds chirping early on Easter morning. The sun's rising up. We see that cross, and we think about that empty tomb. Amen. That's what it's all about. So we'll have a sunrise service. We'll have some coffee and donuts afterwards in the fellowship hall if you want to hang around for a few minutes. I know you need to probably go back and get ready to come to church that day for Easter Sunday. Immediately after the service, we're going to have a little quick Easter egg hunt for our children. So once we get done with our service, because there will be no evening service next Sunday due to the fact it's Easter. So if you know of children besides your own who would like to come and participate in that, please bring them with you next Sunday. Let's fill up God's house next Sunday. And we're going to do that. Also, we need some eggs, candy, plastic eggs, please, because not many kids eat hard-boiled eggs anymore. I used to love that when I was, you know, hunting eggs. But if you could bring some with you Sunday morning, our youth are going to kind of get this put together. And they're going to hide them, you know, during the Sunday school time so that right after church, the kids can come out and they can hunt and probably won't take 15, 20 minutes and then we'll be done and you'll be able to go home. But we wanted to do that for them. I want to remind you, too, our main event men's conference, those that want to go, is July 27th through 29th. We have until May 1st to get the early bird rate of $59. I want to encourage our men, young men, our men of our church, if you'd like to go on that conference, please. We're just asking you to register individually. Then we'll talk about rooms and everything. We do have some brotherhood money set aside in our budget for that, so we can defer the cost of the rooms with that a little bit. Oh, yes. If you got one of the cards for the 30 pieces of silver, please bring those with you next Sunday. We're going to turn those in. If you want to get one and fill one up, please grab one as you go out today. Of course, tonight we'll have a regular evening service at 6, youth at 6, so we want to invite everybody to come. Most all the youth will be with us throughout the day, so we'll get them back over here tonight. But we want to have everyone else come and be a part of that. Also, April the 22nd, we're trying to get together a senior trip somewhere. If nothing else, we want to at least go eat and have a good time with each other and fellowship with each other. So please contact Miss Ann. If you have suggestions or ideas, or if you would like to go, we're trying to get a head count of people that would like to go on that. Any other announcements we need to make? Yes.
I have a couple. This upcoming Friday, the nursing home is having their Easter event. They got their youth be there from 4 to 6. Just, I don't really know what they need to do. Maybe, probably, I don't know. And I told the kids about it. Also, next Friday, the 21st, we're going to have a youth night. I was saying 5 to 9, but we can't get on board. So probably like 6:30 to whenever we get done. Friday night, no rush. Here at the church, just have some fun activities and food and stuff. And as of right now, we're not registered for Super Well. So if y'all would continue to pray for that, I don't want our kids to miss that. And I know y'all have worked so hard with the fundraiser that we already had. So y'all just continue to pray for that. And thank y'all for everything y'all do to help support us, because we love y'all.
Amen. Any other announcements? Also, Wednesday night prayer meeting at 7. I want to encourage you to be a part of that as well. Birthdays, Courtney Goss on the 10th, Justin Worthen on the 10th, Bob Worthen on the 11th, Ansley Newberry on the 12th, Spencer Sumner on the 16th, and Owen Sumner on the 16th. So we want to wish those a very happy birthday coming up this week. Also want to remind you about our Annie Armstrong offering. We'll take it through the rest of this month. Have $100. We're trying to get to a goal of $500. We have through the end of April to get there. So let's see if we can't meet that goal of $500 for our Annie Armstrong Easter offering. Any other announcements? All right. Well, I'm going to ask Miss Patricia to come back here with me, and we're going to stand at the back. If y'all would just greet her. I want to encourage our church members to stay a little bit for a brief church conference. And hope you'll come back this evening for our evening service. I'll ask you to stand to your feet, if you will, please. I'm going to ask Brother Donald, if he will, to dismiss us from our service this morning.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come in your house this morning. Father, we pray that each and every one of our hearts and minds
and hearts will be worthy of the last moment. What is it to tell you this?
Yes, ma'am.